Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Dial right now. Congrats. If you're the 10th caller, you'll win a pair of tickets to see the Capitals Saturday, February 1st. They're taking on Winnipeg. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com. Welcome back to Grant and Danny, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad.
As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
No major news out of Ashburn today. A walkthrough. They were in the bubble. Don't really have any issue with that as long as tomorrow's practice is outside, because I know it's freezing and it's hard to get anything done when it's this cold. You're going to be playing outside this weekend.
You have to deal with that
so
at some
let's
point.
Have that practice tomorrow. I'm sure they'll have it outside. They've done a pretty good job, I think, of prepping in the elements. It's going to be very, very cold today, tomorrow, while you're practicing. It's actually going to be much more pleasant, it feels like, looking at the weather forecast this weekend in Philly. It's going to be in the 30s. I don't know what wind chill is, but it still does not look like there's going to be any snow. Very, very small chance of any precipitation on Saturday. I think that's not the case on Sunday. On Sunday. I did not see that was the case the next day in Philly, though. It sounds like Monday, it might actually snow. So might be missing some precipitation by like a day.
Be good. While the theater, I think, is the best when there's an inclement weather, cold weather, playoff game, snow, whatever on the ground, that's for my TV watching, not for when my team's in it. You know what I mean? I can't have anything adversely affect me in terms of my squad.
Well, the great examples this past week, the Rams played the Eagles in Philly.
It was great.
It was awesome aesthetically. It really is beautiful to watch a snow game. Jalen Hurts had a great line after the game in his interview on the field where he said, when I was a kid, I would turn the weather up to 100 and I would always play in the snow games. I did the exact same thing I think a lot of us did. Super fun. But that game was ruined by the weather. You can't tell me it wasn't. The inability to catch the ball, to run routes, to stop and start. It was just a different game than it would have been indoors or just on a cold surface with no snow. I think both things can be true. It's cool to see snow football, and you've got to acknowledge that that was a completely ruined game.
100%. Of course it was. But again, when I have no stake in it, I'm like, I don't care. But when I do, I'd be throwing a hissy fit.
All right, let's get to your Beltway Blitz and the teams in town you care the most about. We will start on the gridiron. And to go around the NFL with us, we got our buddy Nick Ashew of BetQL. Nick, why don't we start with the Jets hiring Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn today as their head coach. What do you make of that decision?
Good luck. I mean, listen, we've seen this before in Washington. You can hire whatever coach you want, but if you've got issues at the very top when it comes to ownership, there's only so much you can do. I mean, listen, when you got an owner who's got to come out and the fact that his 17-year-old son has any involvement in player personnel, I think you got a problem there. Look, I hope he succeeds. I mean, it's not easy to get a head coaching job in the NFL. I think we all know that. And maybe there's a chance that he can at least bring the culture up a few notches and put the Jets in a position to at least be respectable. But there's a lot and a lot of questions because they got to figure out quarterback. Rodgers there anymore. So there's a need to change. And actually a Jets fan, he said this to me the other day. He goes, "You are so lucky to be a Jets fan." And I paused and I was like, wait, all side of the table anymore. So it's a weird functional franchise from afar as opposed to actually seeing it up close now. So a lot there, but you definitely wish him the best.
I'm going to put you on hold, Nick, and we're going to try to work out your phone because his phone's in and out and breaking up.
It's so glitchy. Probably can't handle being close to that face. You know what I mean? It's so handsome. The phone's like, I don't know what to do.
Here's my prediction when we get Nick back on. He does this every time his phone botches. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back on and he's going to say, these phones, man, you know, we can put a man on the moon. And you can do all this stuff with these phones, but you can't even talk on them. He loves saying that.
That feels like a Nick Ash show.
You can take pictures and send all, you know, these messages.
It's like, what if I was handsome? What would I say?
But I don't know why, but that's like his go-to whenever, because we've had phone issues with him in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you can do all this stuff.
Sorry about that, guys. You can do everything you want on the phones except for talk on them.
Right.
Yep.
It's kind of his go-to line. All right, I think we've worked out Nick's phone issue. Nick Ashew, are you there?
Yeah, listen, you guys know how I feel about phones. I'm on Wi-Fi calling here. I got like three extenders around the house, and of course it connects to the wrong one that gives me a bad signal. That's on me, guys. I'm very sorry. Let's try this again.
You're a sweetheart.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Don't you worry
about
that.
Aren't you nice? So let's go. I want to talk about Jacksonville super quick. So you know how you have this, you personally, Nick, have this like raw magnetism in addition to being like handsome and smelling good that just makes people want to be around you? You know what I mean? Like, everyone's attracted to you. Like, it doesn't matter their proclivities. It's like, I just want to be around Nick. You know how you have that, right?
Well, thank you. You make me feel good every time I come on here because you say something like that.
Yeah.
So, sure, I'll agree with you.
You get it, right?
But like, also, you're handsome and you smell good.
Right. Like, you're the episode. You're the solar system. Everyone's just around, like, Nick, right? I think Trent Baalke's the opposite of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, listen, the fact that he even had this job for as long as he did in Jacksonville, there's a certain point where you just got to look at somebody and go, you're not qualified for this job. Like, we see it with coaches, right, where you go, he's maybe a good coordinator, but as a head coach, that level's a little too high for him. I think at this point now, we know Trent Baalke is just that guy. He's not a general manager. He's not somebody that can build a winning organization. And I don't know why Jacksonville waited as long to make this move. I mean, there's rumors that he was kind of impeding on the coaching search or causing problems. I don't know. All I know is Jacksonville, we just talked about the Jets. Jacksonville's another one of those organizations. You just feel like they can't get out of their own way.
Do you think Cliff Kingsbury ends up staying in D.C., or will one of these openings that's interesting to him be open still when he's ready to start talking at the end of the season?
You know, I know he's put things on pause right now. This is a gut feeling because obviously I don't go and cover the team and talk to him directly. My gut tells me he stays at least one more season. You know, he's still at least for this year getting paid by the Cardinals. So he's still getting that money. Plus, he's getting a ton of money from the Commanders now. And, you know, I understand that obviously most of these coaches want to get to that level and be a head coach. Even if it doesn't work out, you want to take that shot. But you also kind of have to look around at the situation that you're in, right, the culture that you're in. And Washington is now a really high-demand organization for players to want to be a part of, for, you know, coaches or anybody else. Like, that's a place people want to be now. So if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm very, very cautious with the next head coaching job I take, because you want it to be the right situation, because you don't want to end up being a Josh McDaniels where you're going back and getting a second head coaching job and you fail again and you go back to New England for the third time with your tail between your legs. So I'm not him. He makes his own decisions. But if I'm him, I'm looking at this situation going, you know, I could probably do this at least another year first.
Is the Dallas Cowboys job a good job?
Not as long as Jarrah's around there. No, look, because you're always going to get impeded by everybody else when you're trying to make decisions. You're never going to truly be able to work with the front office, because the front office is Jarrah and the rest of his, you know, family, and it's just always going to be everybody butting heads. And in the end, Jerry Jones loves being in the news more than he likes to win, because if he really liked to win, we'd watch a team that was better constructed. Now, have they been decent at drafting over the years? Yeah, they've done a decent job there, but for the most part, you look at this and go, they're always a distraction. There's always something going on. There's always some level of S show that they have, and like the only person I think that could maybe push back and get away with it would be Deion. I think Deion Sanders would be the one personality. He's got the clout. He's got the charisma to be able to tell Jerry Jones, hey, we're going to do it this way, and maybe be able to get away with it.
Which might mean trading Dak for a draft pick so he could take his son.
Yes.
But I digress.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas, who are you picking Sunday?
Oh, guys, I think the Eagles win, but I think the Commanders cover. But I've been wrong because I thought they'd lose to Detroit, but I did bet them to cover, so I feel like it could at least be close in this one again. I worry about Saquon, man. And plus, we know, right, like, both these teams have beat each other once this year. It's hard to beat a team twice in a season. Well, Washington and Philadelphia are in the same spot. Here's the thing. If the Commanders' defense can generate turnovers even close to the level it did against Detroit, that's the difference maker. We know their offense can keep up with anybody, but defensively, if they can make things rough on Jalen Hurts and at least, and I'll put it in quotes, contain Saquon Barkley. When I say contain, like he only runs for 120 yards, I think that they've got a shot of winning this game, because in the end, nothing has made sense with them, and they always find ways to keep it close, and they're just not scared of anybody anymore. So I think Washington covers, but I hate to say that Philadelphia wins, but like I feel like this might be the end of the run.
Nick, thank you as always, buddy.
See you guys.
Talk soon, man. You're very, very handsome.
I can smell his cologne from here. Let's talk hockey. Don't worry. We'll get back to the Commanders.
We got you.
Closing in on an NFC title game.
Yeah, right.
Just a few minutes, but last night, the other of the two awesome teams in this town. The Capitals are the best team in the National Hockey League. 7 more points than anybody else in the Eastern Conference right now. 4 more points than any other team in the NHL after last night's win. This was good on good. Edmonton Oilers, Washington Capitals. Logan Thompson was great again, made 30 saves. Tom Wilson scored his 20th goal. That's 4 20-goal seasons for Willie. The Caps have now won 5 in a row. They've got points in 11 straight games. That was the first of a 5-game road trip that they started in style.
So let me ask you this. Is it sustainable for them to be this good and get outshot the way that they were, say, last night or it feels like in general? Because their shooting percentage is so good. Speaks to their ability to create high-quality chances. They're choosier, it seems like, with when they, quote-unquote, go for it.
Well, look at the first period last night. They had 3 shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
They scored on the third one. It was a 2-on-1 rush. Brilliant Protus pass.
I mean, by the way, Protus. Quick pause for the Protus.
He's amazing.
He's outstanding.
He's so good. The Protus pass, though, crossed the crease to Wilson, banged home. That's a goal most nights, right? 2-on-1.
Yeah.
So they need more of those. Like, the great A's have been there. They're not getting consistent shots in every period, to your point. But no, if you're getting a 3-shot period, if you're having a low shot game, low event offensive zone time, then you're not going to win very often. But they make it count with really. It reminds me somewhat of like Pittsburgh many, many years ago, where they might have 6 shots in a period and score 2 goals. It's kind of way the Caps have done it, where the shots are often really, really good. They're not just firing from all over the place. But yeah, they have to win more often. They're going to have to win a lot of ozone time, but they win no matter what.
Yeah,
every situation, every single night, they just get 2 points. Whether they get a lot of shots or a few shots, or they need a great goaltending performance, or the goalie gives up a bunch of goals. They don't lose, man. This has been ridiculously fun. We got a team in the NFC Championship game right now, and it's probably the second best team in town because the Capitals are that good right now.
Really is incredible when you look at it. I mean, there, I just got these, I think it was from Bet Online, but the Caps point total is the largest jump from their preseason to now their current total, if you wanted to bet on it, plus 21 points. Which doesn't sound like that crazy of an amount, but you're pretty much talking about 10 more wins over the course of 82 games. That's patently absurd. In other words, people thought this is a middle-of-the-pack borderline playoff team, which is what I thought, by the way. I'm going, hey, yeah, you know, some of these young guys or some of these guys that are coming in from outside looking in, assuming you get a pretty good Pierre-Luc Dubois, assuming you get a pretty good Jacob Chychrun, assuming Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren are fine. Nope, just everybody performs all the way up to their career bests when they don that Washington Capitals uniform. They're incredible.
Logan Thompson's been just an absolute
electric
revelation. Maybe the best goaltender in the Eastern Conference and one of the top goalies, obviously, in the National Hockey League on the season. He's now 22-2-3, points in 25 of his 27 starts. All right, let's talk football. Nick Akridge, PFF, joins us to do just that now. Nick, what do you make of this run and just how wild this whole thing has gotten?
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. If you were to tell me this was going to happen start of the season, I would have thought you were absolutely insane. It's just kind of everything sort of come together, and you just have a quarterback who was already playing extremely well during the regular season, and he's just kind of taking it to the next level and is just carrying this team.
Nick, let's say Jaden Daniels was like league average Larry, just for this hypothetical. Make him the 18th best quarterback in the league, whoever you happen to think that is, just in your mind's eye, replace that guy with Daniels. What's the talent caliber of this roster? Like, is this a 3-win team, a 5-win team, an 8-win team? Non-Jaden Daniels division, how talented is this group?
I think it's a 6-7-win team. I think when you add someone like a Bobby Wagner and Austin Eckler and you bring those veteran guys in, I think it would elevate the floor just a bit. But that's honestly where I thought they would kind of be this year is, you know, 6-7 wins. And, hey, if you get a really good Jaden Daniels season, you could contend for a playoff spot. Turns out we got a great Jaden Daniels season. I would kind of consider this the rest of the talent on this roster around like 6-7 wins.
I agree with the notion that they're under-talented, right? But where I'm with you on 7 wins or 8 wins maybe or whatever, there is also something kind of non-analytical happening here. There is this magical pixie dust thing. They're getting a lot of good fortune and bounces. That's not to diminish their accomplishments. But I think people forget there was one game where Jaden Daniels didn't play for 3 quarters, and they scored 40 points. You know, there was a second half when Jaden Daniels, after having arguably his worst half of the season against the Cowboys, was on the sideline, and Marcus Mariota played as good a 2 quarters as anybody has at quarterback, and they came back to beat Dallas. Now, I know those are small samples, and I think if Mariota started 17 games, they would have been at home a month ago. But what I am saying is, I think they get disrespected a little bit when we do the Jaden and who thing, which I hear that narrative. Like, when he hasn't been on the field, they've been awesome.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. You brought guys in that elevate that floor. And you're 100% right. They are playing, there's a little magic here. And this kind of happens to teams every now and again where you just can't really place your finger on it. But, you know, sometimes fans see, you know, you getting lucky as a really bad thing and you're kind of trying to make this positive run into something negative. But they really have had a lot of luck, and a lot of that has been to their own doing. The Lions game was kind of a perfect example of that, where they kind of created their own luck with, you know, usually you see a lot of these games is you can kind of look back and maybe a team didn't capitalize on turnovers, but Washington capitalized on every single turnover opportunity that Detroit gave them. You know, Jared Goff had 4 turnover-worthy plays. Usually when you see that sort of stuff, it's sometimes the fumble gets picked up by Detroit or it's a dropped interception, but they caught every single interception that was thrown their way. They picked up a fumble. It was just kind of everything is kind of breaking their way right now, and they are kind of creating that their own luck. But there is still some magic going on.
I'm terrified of Jalen Carter in general, but now especially without Sam Cosmi. How are they going to fix or kind of address both him and then that right guard spot? How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I think Cosmi was probably the worst one that they could have lost, not just because I think he's the best offensive lineman, but I just don't think you have a kind of perfect replacement there. You know, if you lose one of your 2 tackles, you've got Cordelius Lucas that can step up and play both. We've seen Dieter come in for Biotis right away, but I just don't think you have any really quality backup guards right now. Trent Scott came in and played really well, but the Lions don't have a Jalen Carter, and that is a huge problem right now. So whether you go with Scott again at right guard, or you move Wiley into right guard, you're going to have to cater your offensive line and protection plan to Jalen Carter every single play, no matter where he is lined up.
What do you think about Sunday? What's your prediction?
I predicted it. I thought they would lose last weekend. I just don't know how you block Jalen Carter. And I know I would love for this magical run to continue. I just don't see how they do it. I think you're going to have to, again, outscore Philly. And, you know, their offense hasn't looked great, but I think the run comes to an end, as much as I hate to say that. But I just think that their magic might run out. on Sunday.
Thank you, Nick. Always appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, you guys have a good one.
Yeah, great as always, bro. There's Nick Akridge of PFF with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You can follow his work there. Is there any way that Dan Snyder is watching these games? Well, let's just pause for a moment and think about how salty and unhappy he's got to be with what's unfolding in really year one without him having anything to do with the team. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Taking you up to 6:30, we're Grant and Danny. You're locked into The Fan. If you missed Joe Gibbs, that Joe Gibbs, you know, Joe Jackson.
That's one.
The head coach who brought 3 Lombardi trophies to the nation's capital. We had him on in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll re-rack that for you in about an hour and a half, right at 6. We're going to be talking to Frank Schwab at 5 o'clock, Yahoo Sports. He wrote a piece on Jaden Daniels having a remarkable rookie season. We want to dive in on that story with Frank coming up in about a half hour right here on Grant and Danny. But we were talking about this before the show. I said, we got to bring this up. Do you guys think Dan Snyder's watching these games? So we had a little argument. Danny, I don't think you were in here when we were talking about this. But a couple of the guys think that he is. I think, Clary, were you? You said you think Dan Snyder's watching these games, right? I would guarantee just about anything that he's not. I think it's too much pain for him. You had this thing essentially ripped out of your hands. Now, you could cause pain to me and hand me $6.2 billion, and I'll find a way to be okay with
it. A lot of pain I deal with there for that.
Like, I would sell you anything for $6.2 billion and go live on my yacht in the Netherlands or wherever he is right now. But I think this is a breakup where you're not going to be listening to the radio for a little while for fear that the song's going to come on that you guys liked that's still in heavy rotation. You're not going to just watch TV commercials because there's that one commercial that you both always used to laugh at. You can't be reminded of her. So I think you kind of lock in. You do think you find new hobbies. You get away from the things you shared together. And in this case, I think Dan Snyder is completely out on football. He's out on the NFL. He's out on this team. And his misery, just finding out, bumping into a newspaper clipping where the Commanders won, when he gets a text from someone saying those idiots are lucking their way all the way to the Super Bowl, whatever it is, he's seething. He's furious, but I think he's avoiding all content. There's 0% chance he watched the game against Detroit.
So we have known each other for 16 years, give or take.
And is it that long?
Yeah, right, 09.
We are old.
We're old people.
Yeah.
Here's something that I think you do from time to time. I think you're doing it right now. What you've just done is applied reason, logic, and how a normal person would behave to a situation, right? What you just said is very reasonable. Normal human beings feel what are called feelings. Normal human beings have things like resentment, remorse, upset. They have those things. When you have an unreasonable person and we ascribe reasonable feelings to them, we're going to be left disappointed every time. That twerp thinks he won. That twerp thinks he got over on all of us. I get $6 billion? All he's thinking about is his profit. He's watching. He can't help himself. He's addicted to it. He's got, in his mind, it's basically still his thing. He's so delusional. He's been naked for 2 decades, and everyone's telling him his clothes look great. He's been surrounded by sycophantic yes people that want to siphon and suckle at the great teat that is his wealth. He thinks this is his show, and these guys are just kind of lucky. He's watching. He's into it. He thinks it's him, and he's got $6 billion. He's watching. I guarantee it.
Danny, there's no way.
100%.
These guys are accomplishing the thing that he would have killed to accomplish.
He wouldn't have killed. He didn't care.
No, he would have killed. He would have done anything except the right things. Like,
yeah, if he wanted to win, he would have done something about it once in 20 years.
His obsession and his addiction with, he just can't get out of his own way.
Well, of course.
I mean, that's what he is and how he runs his stuff. But he would have done anything other than correctly operate to try to win. That was his whole bit.
In his mind, he's going, I would have drafted Jaden Daniels also. It'd have been fine. I drafted Terry McLaurin. He thinks he did it.
But you're arguing something completely different. I'm not saying that he'd be watching, admiring the job of the Harris ownership group going, wow, these guys really turned this thing around. What an amazing accomplishment.
Good for them.
He's watching, and livid. And yes, of course, he's going to sit there and say, oh, they got lucky. I could have done the same thing if only I was still there after the name change. Or maybe, you know, he's blaming it on the curse, not of himself, but of the name, right? So now it's the name Commanders that's doing this. But I'm telling you, there's nothing I wouldn't bet that he didn't watch 1 second of the game against the Lions. I almost would rather that he has to sit there and watch it, though. Like, that somebody just keeps turning his head toward the screen.
Right.
And every time he looks away to talk to a family member,
good Clockwork Orange style,
he's got to watch it again. Yeah. Let's bring in corporate Ryan Clary, who runs the corporation around these parts.
He's in charge of the corporate.
Yeah, very, very high up. Very important now that he took his job on the corporation. So, Ryan, you have to explain your logic to me that you think that he's watching these games. Because you and Danny apparently are in lockstep. I can't see it.
Yeah, honestly, Danny kind of took my explanation away from me because he got $7 or $6 billion, however many billions that he got from this organization with selling it. I don't really think he cares all too much. I think he kind of feels as if he won just because of all the money that he got. And also, he's a football fan. Like, the guy really, at least I don't think, has nothing else going for him. He's probably going to sit down and watch his former team.
He could watch Bills Ravens.
He could, but he also could watch Commanders Eagles.
Based on my premise, though, if you watch Bills Ravens, you're going to find out something. You're going to hear them talk about, everyone's got that name. I don't know what your name is, Danny. I don't know what Dad's name is, but everyone has a name when they hear it. It's like a little stab to the stomach, right?
Yep.
For him, it's Commanders.
That is for me,
right?
Too.
That's his Danny Rea, you know, Janine Sartwell, or you know, whatever the name is, right? Everyone's got that one name. I'm telling you. I think he's got to avoid it at all costs. Dad, is Dan Snyder watching the NFC Championship game between the Commanders and the Eagles?
By the way, that name for me is Kelly Olynyk. Ugh, it hurts.
Okay, I think he missed my that name reference, but this is a sports
version.
No,
we're doing bits. Yeah, sports version. No, I don't think he's invested at all. I honestly don't think he's watched 1 second of the team this year. I really think it probably, in a way, hurts him too much. Yeah, I'm with you. There's just no way he spent a minute looking at the Washington team play at all.
Daniel Descalso and Pete Cosmo. But I think, to me, that's how a normal person would behave and react. Again, I think you guys are underestimating how insulated and tyrannical this dictator was. They couldn't show him the actual finances. He had to have make-believe ones that to make him appeased and happy. You couldn't look him in the eye. So in his mind, his delusional, weird, warped, I don't feel guilty for any of it mind, where he thinks he was, he did the right thing at every step of the way. Probably has no regrets at any time. He thinks he won. He's so delusional, he thinks he won. He doesn't see the correlation that everybody sees, that getting rid of him is the best thing that could possibly happen. He doesn't see that he's gone, now they're good.
So that's not how he thinks of it. I will agree with you.
That's not what he thinks.
I bet you he does not realize that his absence is what made this whole thing possible.
That's right.
I think he views this as, oh my God, if I would have just held on for two more years.
They're doing this with my players, like with my staff.
I would have gotten Daniels. Not that he would have picked him, but just that they would have had the second pick. And really, it wasn't, you know, a huge decision necessarily, according to the people pre-draft. It was like going to be Williams, Daniels, May in that order. So you just kind of took the guy that fell to you. If we would have just gotten Daniels, me and my guys could be doing this right now. I definitely think he thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that wherever he's at this weekend, it's on his mind constantly. Because I don't think he's watching, but he knows they're playing. I think he keeps looking at the clock going, I'd be in my suite right now.
You can't help it.
Be there eating my meatballs, you know, because that was his big thing, right? He did the Paulson where he'd walk around with his meatballs.
Yeah, the meatballs out of the then Redskins crock pot.
Right. I'd be sitting there. Who would he be having back? He'd have Bruce back in his suite for the game.
Pre-lawsuit.
Bunch of his old buddies that have run people out of here left and right.
Again, pre-lawsuit.
Terribly. Oh, I hope he's miserable.
Well, I echo that one.
Just knowing that it couldn't have been him. That
he never got to.
He didn't get to do this.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, it took them, Dan, 1 year.
A single full offseason to undo your damage, loser.
1 year it took them. Unbelievable.
Can you imagine being that malevolent of a force? Like, can you imagine that you leave and it's so much better in every single way for every person in the employ, every building, every rug, every carpet, every surface, every room, everybody coming to work, it's better off because you're not there. Can you imagine ever having that kind of impact negatively on people?
I'd like to hope that I will not have that impact on people.
Like, when I get canned, is everyone going to celebrate? Don't answer that, chat. But you know what I mean? Like, the idea that, like, okay, Danny's gone. Yes! We can take off.
Finally.
Now we're happy.
It's such a good bit.
You see what I mean?
It's so true. Like, if you're ever in a position where your departure will lead to a party of everyone being elated,
yeah,
you got to think about how you're living your life a little bit and maybe try to do it differently. It's like Scrooge or something.
Yes.
You know,
beginning of Ace Ventura 2, when they find him in the ashram and they just kick him out and then the place goes nuts. These guys, very solemn monks doing nothing but praying. When Ace Ventura leaves, they throw a party. Like, that's the deal. That's your Ace Ventura, Dan.
First off, happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
You too, pal.
Mo's in Largo on G&D. Mo, how you feeling about this weekend, bro?
Very well, gentlemen. Can I speak to the topic and then to what I think we could do to win the game?
Yeah, just be quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, so for one, I think he is still watching. I think that this was a very humbling experience, and at some point, somewhere along the lines, maybe he did realize that he was the problem. But even if he didn't, all it would take for him is to bet on one game and actually win and continue to bet with us, because we covered a lot of spreads this year, and he's on the bandwagon, bro. I guarantee you he's watching the game.
You know what would be hilarious? If he's taking some of that 6.2 bill, Mo, and he's emotionally hedging.
And letting it ride a little bit.
Like, he's rooting against them, but he keeps betting on them because just in case they win, he makes some money. Because I do think he's obviously rooting against them. There's no doubt about that. There's no way he'd be rooting for them.
I don't know, because keep in mind, this team was a part of his DNA since the time of his inception.
But, bro, he had it ripped away from him. He hates Goodell and everyone involved in making him sell.
Yeah, he might hate the league and those people, but keep him. It's still the team. The team is a part of him. He invested his whole life into this team.
I don't know. So there's people that can barely even get excited for the games now because they changed the name. I think you could probably find a way to not worry about, you know, the Commanders after he sold them three names later.
I understand what you're saying. I just feel like he's still a fan at heart, and at the end of the day, he's probably tucked off in some big room watching a 90-inch screen, cheering on the Skins by himself. Personally, that's just how I feel.
I'm picturing like his son watching it, and he walks into the room like, "What are you doing?"
And then I told you not to interrupt me.
Yeah, he's like, "Sorry, Dad. I just wanted to see what's happening.
I was told. I told our staff and help that I'm not to be disturbed."
What's your prediction? You said.
So I'll say this, gentlemen. You know, last couple weeks, I'll be honest. I didn't think that we could win, and I'm still. I mean, all the chips say that the Eagles are a better team. But I'll say this. The first game, like you said, he threw for under 200, threw for one touchdown. The next game, he threw for over 300, threw five touchdowns. That's two games plus two more playoff games of defensive film that he's running through his simulator, okay? That team that's going to show up this Sunday, it's not the same quality team that we played that day. They're banged up, they're tired, and we've got more film on them. A gentleman, if we play to our ability, I think we smoke them. Okay,
smoke
I know we're scared.
Mo is. Thank you, buddy. Thanks, we got to go. Mo says they smoke them. Mm. That's our first blowing out the Eagles in the NFC Championship game prediction.
I don't see that. Now, I get the confidence. I get it that you're watching something magical happen. I don't see a blowout. I just don't think that's in the cards. I think that defense is too good.
Somebody's going to get put on the spot next segment. That's not expecting it right now.
Yep.
That's all I can tell you. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Friday, we're going to be in Bethesda. Cannot wait for our Friday field trip. It's going to be at Caddy's on Cordell. Come on out and get ready for the NFC Championship game with us. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. So, behind the scenes on the show, Darris and Ryan have been our producers for many, many years. Of course, Ryan is now a corporate guy, but he's still here with us every day. He still sits in the studio.
Right, so they've hired him to professionally watch us and make sure there are no violations.
Essentially, that's the new gig.
As the corporate
guy. And
then
generally, Toby hangs out with us. Ben is in for him today and has been over the last couple of days, which we appreciate, and he's working hard. So we're rolling five deep these days. But before the show, we end up generally laying out our show, having these meetings, some things come up. And Ryan brought something to our attention that he's kind of counting on happening. And we're like, that seems a little bit crazy. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, dude. And he told us that he thinks it is. And we said, well, why don't you pop the question and ask the big question,
so to speak,
on the air. So without further ado, I'd like to bring onto the program Ryan's father, Mr. Mike Clary. Mr. Clary, how are you?
Mr. Clary.
I'm doing well. I'm honored to be on with Joe Gibbs. Same show.
Well, same day, yeah.
That's a good point.
You like in the rundown, it's like, who was on?
Exactly.
Frank Schwab, Joe Gibbs, Mr. Clary.
By the way, you sound exactly like Chris Knocke. Do you know who that is?
Oh, I do? I know Chris Knocke.
Are you serious?
A basketball with him, against him or whatever.
Sound exactly like, right now, I'm like, damn it, Ryan, you called the wrong guy.
Like, how did Maryland play the other night, Chris?
Tell me about the Terps game.
It's Zach's life, too.
I don't know him that well, but no, yeah, I do know him. He's big Terps guy. I know that.
I cannot believe how much your dad sounds like Chris Knocke.
It's throwing the segment off for me.
It is unbelievable. All right. So, Ryan, go ahead and tell your dad.
I can tell you the answer is no, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Do you know what the question is yet?
Uh-oh. Yeah,
I know, but.
What do you think the question is, Dad?
Super Bowl tickets.
Really?
Wow, he's all over it.
Well, okay, since you're jumping the guns here.
I wasn't born yesterday.
Okay.
So can I just say, before, this is great, before Ryan says what he's about to say, Ryan came in here today, Mike, and he's like, if they win on Sunday.
He's puffing his chest out.
I'm going to be at the Super Bowl. And I was like, you are? That is just a maniacal dad laugh. So I said, you are? And he goes, yeah. And I'm not trying to put my hand in anybody's pockets, right? I'm not trying to tell anyone how they're living. But I said, buddy, have you seen how much those tickets cost? And he says to me, and I quote, my dad has always told me and my brother, so Ryan, you go ahead and finish it. What has your dad always told you?
Dad, I sat in those stands at FedEx Field with you growing up because you made me root for this team, and now I am thankful for it. But when I was a kid, I remember looking up at you. I was watching the Dolphins game with Chad Pennington playing in the playoffs, and I was like, Dad, if we make the Super Bowl someday, can we go? And you're like, yes. And you have said that every single year. If they make the Super Bowl, we're going to go. You've been awfully quiet the last few days, Dad. The Commanders are one game away from the Super Bowl.
We're going to have a Super Bowl party at our house.
So we're not going
to
the Super
Bowl. Can Ryan go to that?
What? Yeah, you can go to that.
He's invited, huh?
With my Basset Hound, yes. Yes, I mean, we're looking forward to it.
Well,
You never know.
No, I do somebody know. Else. I do know this because last somebody week.
No.
This is not how radio works. I have to talk now. I have to talk.
He's so corporate, Mr. Clary.
Listen, corporate guy, you don't get to boss Mike Clary around because you're on air.
No, I'm upset because last week he spent $45,000 on a new car.
Whoa!
More than that.
More than that. Yeah,
you're just outing it? You're just throwing his business out there?
I know. I threw his business out there.
It was a present for my wife.
Yes, and it was a good present.
Yeah.
But you know what? I love my mom. I love my mom. I think she. But,
you can drive in that car to Super Bowl.
Exactly.
We'll let you use that. Yeah,
so here's the thing, Dad. Actually, I have a plan for us because there is a payment plan of which if you got three tickets, we could do a payment plan monthly that would only cost us $1,500 over the next few years. But every single month you have to pay $1,500 just as if you're paying rent. And we could go to the Super Bowl.
And the house is probably paid off.
House,
so he could just. We've owned it for a while.
I went to a funeral the other day of a friend, and a buddy of mine said he always told me, always showed me the back way to get in for free. So he's no longer with us. So I don't know how to. $6,500 is the average ticket. So
yeah. Well, I'm looking at $5,400 right now.
$5,400.
$5,400.
Meet me at the gate. Meet me at the gate.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Yeah, there's a chance, all right.
Mr. Clary, how about him coming in, and he was so confident.
He was so sure.
He was like, I'm going to the game, I think. And I'm like,
well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I let him run with it because, I mean, I didn't think they're going to beat Detroit. But I like their chances this weekend. I mean, hey, I like their chances. So Eckler's going to run them, go wild, I think.
So what's the percentage chance out of 100 that Clary is sitting at the Superdome in New Orleans watching the Super Bowl with his dad?
What Clary? That's the key.
Our colleague.
Hey, you know what? To be honest with you, I got a chance I might be there. But
no way.
Would you do that? Would you take? Would you no, go I'm and not
kidding.
Take Ryan?
I'm kidding. Yeah, but I'm not going to get a ticket, so I'm okay. No, I'm not. No, I'd never do that. You know, I would never do that. No.
Well, here's the thing about my dad. Back in the day, he had Super Bowl tickets from his company to the Bills game, the Bills Redskins game at the time. And he sold.
My dad convinced me to sell them. No,
he
actually,
sold them.
I got them bought. My boss bought them from me because he didn't want me to go away.
Oh, wow.
So, oh, well.
I wonder what that was.
I was a beer wholesaler. So, you know, that was a big time for us, Super Bowl time.
Oh, I can imagine. So. Well, before we let you go, I should also point out, so Ryan calls, you didn't know why you were coming on, although it sounds like you connected some dots pretty well.
Let's figure it out.
But Ryan calls
I kind of figured it out there. Yeah, yeah.
So he calls up his pops, and he goes, hey, can you come on the show at 4:45? His dad's like, I guess so. And he's like, all right, well, we'll talk to you then. And then his dad's saying something, and I hear as he's walking out of the studio, Ryan goes, all right, Dad, we got to go. He called you. And now he's rushing you off the phone.
You believe that?
Well, your kids are young, right?
Yeah, you'll learn. Our oldest is 5.
Yeah, you'll learn.
So, but I heard you're like, oh, sorry for taking up your time.
You're starting to take up too much of your time.
He called you, and now he's telling you you're keeping me too long.
Yep, yep. I love my dad, and my dad said to me, it was a Super Bowl. Actually, it was in Minnesota. And he's like, why would you want to go there? And, you know, I took it. I was like 23 or 24 or whatever. And I sold them, but I sold them for a good number. So it was worth it. It was worth it.
Enough to buy a new car years later.
All right. So Ryan did not know that we, on the back channel, we had actually set this already up with his dad. So go ahead and tell him the big news, Mr. Clary.
You're not going to the Super Bowl.
For a second, I think Ryan was like, oh, my God, going? Oh, my God. His eyes were the size of pumpkins.
He thought he was going.
You got me a little bit. Yep. You did get me.
You were a little bit sized.
A little bit. A
Your heart started pounding a little bit. You're like, oh, my God, this is it. It's happening.
Grab a bag of Doritos and sit next to my basset hound. You're on fun.
All right, Mike, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clary.
Take care, guys.
Be good. Enjoy. There's Mr. Clary joining us on Grant and Danny.
There are two Mr. Clarys in our lives now. Mr. Clary, and then, of course, Mr. Clary, the corporate entity.
That's a good point.
That's right.
That did not go how Ryan wanted. Let's talk Jaden Daniels next.